Martinique is often painted in postcards, palm-fringed beaches, French charm, and Creole cuisine that seduces the senses. But look past the tourist gloss, and you'll find an island shaped by blood, rebellion, and a fight to keep its soul. Behind every rum distillery is the ghost of a plantation. Behind every Creole phrase, a tongue that refused to die. And behind the smiling rhythms of Zouk music, echoes of resistance still dance. Martinique is not just a French department, it's a contradiction. European laws on African soil, a Creole culture built on the ashes of slavery, a Catholic island still whispering prayers to African gods. Here, memory is not buried. It's bottled, served, sung, and stitched into the madras of everyday life. You don't just visit Martinique. You are seduced, disarmed, and, if you're paying attention, haunted. This isn't just about beaches and baguettes. This is about sugar fields and struggle, fried codfish and fractured identity, colonial wounds and Caribbean pride. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Madras and Memory, Traditions That Refuse to Die. In Fort-de-France, the capital of Martinique, colonial buildings sit beside modern concrete shops selling cell phones and mangoes. The city pulses with a layered rhythm, the sound of car horns, the bass of Caribbean dance hall, and somewhere above it all, the faint echo of a Bel Air chant sung by grandmothers in hidden kitchens. But to truly understand Martinique, you have to leave the capital. You begin in Saint-Pierre, once called the Paris of the Caribbean, until 1902, when Mount Pelée erupted and killed nearly every one of its 30,000 inhabitants in less than 5 minutes. The ash-preserved ruins are still there, a silent theater, a stone jail, shattered walls now overgrown with vines. A single prisoner survived. His cell, a stone tomb, protected him from fire and flying rock. The town never truly recovered. Locals say Saint-Pierre is where the old spirits walk. Many refuse to build over certain ruins. Others whisper that some buildings refuse to stay built. It's here the island's tension is clearest. Memory versus modernity. French control versus Afro-Caribbean soul. A tapestry of skin and sound, Martinique, is Afro-Caribbean. And French. And something else. Entirely. A fusion that defies simplification. Here, people speak both French and Martinican Creole, but the latter carries emotional weight. Creole isn't just a dialect. It's rebellion in syllables. It was once banned in schools. Children punished for speaking it. Yet in markets, homes, and across radio stations, it thrives. Creole says, "We are still here. You tried to erase us, and we danced instead." The Madras fabric, with its vibrant plaid colors, is worn proudly by Martinican women in traditional dress, especially during La Fête des Cuisinières or the Cook's Festival. Women parade in bright skirts and head wraps, carrying homemade dishes like acra de morue, saltfish fritters, and boudin creole, spicy blood sausage. But it's more than food. It's a ritual of power. These women are the bearers of culture. Their aprons are stitched with memory. The folds of the tête-en-l'air, headscarf, even carry coded meanings. One knot says, "I'm married." Two knots say, "I'm single." Three, "I'm taken but available." It's flirtation woven in tradition. This is the heartbeat of Martinique, resistance disguised as beauty. Beneath the cross, the blend of beliefs. Martinique is deeply Catholic. Churches are packed on Sundays, and crucifixes adorn homes and hilltops. But look closer, and you'll see signs of syncretism, African spiritual systems still pulsing beneath Catholic rituals. In hidden corners, candles burn for Erzuli and Legba, spirits from the Vodou pantheon, under the names of Catholic saints. The dead are honored with rum libations and drumming ceremonies, especially on All Saints' Day. Families clean graves and light candles that flicker like stars across cemeteries. They speak to ancestors, not as ghosts, but as guides. Some locals consult Kimbusur, healers or spiritualists who mix herbal medicine, African divination, and Catholic prayer. Though feared by some, they are respected by many. Their practices, dismissed by colonial authorities as superstition, remain part of the island's living heritage. To outsiders, this coexistence of Jesus and ancestral spirits may seem contradictory. But in Martinique, it is coherence in chaos, a survival mechanism, a way of keeping what was nearly taken. Rum, resistance, and the plantation ghosts. Rum is everywhere in Martinique, distilled from sugarcane, poured over ice, flamed into flambéed bananas. But every sip is a reminder. Sugarcane fields are beautiful from a distance, but they were once hellscapes of colonial brutality. Martinique was among the most profitable colonies in the Caribbean, not because of location, but because of slave labor. Over 100,000 Africans were enslaved here to work the cane fields for French sugar magnates. Even after emancipation in 1848, the scars remained. Many freed people became landless laborers, still working the same fields under new contracts, just as exploitative. Today, you can tour the Habitation Clément, a former plantation-turned-museum and distillery. The grounds are lush. The rum is aged in oak barrels. But the slave quarters still stand, silent, rotting, deliberately preserved. A plaque explains their history, but the air speaks louder. You feel the silence. You feel the weight. And yet, rum is also a symbol of survival, of turning oppression into celebration. Local rum brands like Rum JM and Le Favorite are sources of pride, and each sip carries a legacy of pain, yes, but also of transformation. In Martinique, nothing is just one thing, music as a mirror. Martinique's musical landscape is a symphony of survival. Start with belé, a genre rooted in enslaved African drumming, singing, and call and response. It's danced barefoot, hips swaying in a circle, drum echoing like heartbeats. The lyrics carry coded language, double meanings that once masked rebellion as romance. Then came zouk, the pulsing, sensual sound born in the 1980s through bands like Kassav. It's global now, fused with Haitian, compa, funk, and even French ballad. Zouk is not just music. It's defiance with a beat. Even in today's dancehall and trap influences, Creole pride seeps through. Young Martinicans rap about identity, colonialism, and love in a world that still often calls them French with an asterisk. But the island is also home to Chouval Bois, a traditional music played with bamboo flutes and goatskin drums, often during festivals or village fairs. The instruments are handmade. The rhythms are ancestral. This music isn't nostalgia. It's cultural resistance kept alive with every note. La question d'identité. Who gets to define Martinique? Officially, Martinique is an overseas department of France. It sends representatives to the French Parliament. It uses the euro. Its students learn Parisian French history before Caribbean resistance. But identity here is a loaded word. There's tension between those who embrace Frenchness and those who demand Creole autonomy. In 2009, protests exploded over the cost of living, led by unionists, farmers, and everyday citizens fed up with economic inequality and colonial echoes. They called out the Béke, descendants of white colonial plantation owners who still control vast land and business holdings. Though a minority, Their economic power fuels resentment. This is not an island at peace with its identity. It is an island in motion, constantly negotiating its past and future. And perhaps that's the most Martinican thing of all, living in contradiction without losing your core. Chapter 2. Fire Beneath the Sugar. Colonial Echoes and Creole Futures. In Martinique, the past doesn't just haunt the present, it lives inside it. It seeps through soil, language, rhythm, and rage. To grasp where the island is going, you must walk the scarred paths it's already taken. And those paths are tangled with fire, literal and metaphorical. We begin again at the base of Mount Pelé, the silent volcano that decimated Saint-Pierre in 1902. But this time, we're not there for ruins. We're there for renewal. In recent years, a new generation of artists and educators has reclaimed the space, not by rebuilding the Paris of the Caribbean, but by honoring the African roots buried in ash. Children now reenact Baile dances in restored amphitheaters. Blacksmiths forge traditional tools, and community elders tell stories not from French textbooks, but from griot memory. In Martinique, healing begins when memory becomes performance. The battle for the land has always been the island's most prized and most contested resource. Under slavery, land meant sugar, sugar meant profit, and Africans were the machinery. After abolition, freedmen were promised liberty, but not acres. Today, that broken promise echoes in one ugly truth. Over 70% of arable land, Martinique is still owned by the Béke class. These are the white descendants of French colonists who returned after abolition to reclaim what they believed was rightfully theirs. Meanwhile, many Afro-Martinicans remain tenants or landless laborers. Some plant cassava and bananas on rented plots. Others struggle to buy even a sliver of earth. This isn't just economics. It's trauma coded in hectares. Movements like Collectif pour la Réparation have emerged, calling for reparations, land redistribution, and recognition of historical theft. In 2020, protests escalated. Statues of French colonizers like Victor Schœlcher, once hailed for helping end slavery, were torn down, not out of hatred, but to challenge the myth of the white savior. Schœlcher did help end slavery, but he also fought to keep the colonies. And in Martinique, where identity is cracked by contradiction, symbols matter. To the protesters, tearing him down was a cry to be seen. Fully, painfully, truly. The poisoned soil, the Claudicone scandal. But history isn't the only poison in Martinique's soil. There is a literal one, Claudicone, a toxic pesticide banned in the US in 1976, but allowed in the French Antilles until 1993. It was used on banana plantations, most of them owned by Békès. Scientists warned the government. Activists pleaded. But the chemical kept flowing. Today, nearly 92% of Martinicans have traces of it in their blood. Cancer rates, especially prostate, are among the highest in the world. And yet for decades, silence, no trials, no apologies. Only in recent years has the scandal reached the surface, prompting mass protests and demands for justice. The phrase repeated at rallies? No pa kobe. Translation: we are not guinea pigs. In Martinique, the fight is no longer just about the past. It's about toxins in the womb, contamination in the plate, and trust corroded at the molecular level. Yet still, people plant. People cook. People resist. Cuisine as resistance. To understand Martinique's defiance, taste its kitchen. Start with Colombo, a spice blend of turmeric, coriander, and cumin, brought by Indian indentured servants after slavery was abolished. Their migration, too, was a form of colonial substitution, but they brought flavor that fused into Creole identity. Colombo goat or chicken is now a national dish. Then taste tinain morua, green banana and salted cod, once slave food, now a delicacy. Or pain au beurre chocolat, a braided sweet bread dipped in thick hot chocolate, served during christenings and wakes. Each dish is layered with survival. Enslaved Africans used unwanted cuts of meat and wild herbs. Post-emancipation families stretched meals with starch and spice. Today's chefs turn that legacy into elegance. Caribbean fusion restaurants are rising from Sainte-Anne to Fort-de-France. But even the most modern plate whispers history. And then there's rum, again. But this time, in the hands of women. Historically excluded from the rum business, women like Natalie Simonet, head distiller at Distillery Simonet, now lead the way in reclaiming both land and legacy. Her blends honor her enslaved great-grandmother. Her slogan, our rum, our roots. In Martinique, even the glass you raise can be an act of remembrance. The diaspora and the dream of return. Martinique bleeds people. Thousands leave each year for France, seeking work, education, opportunity. Paris is full of Martinican youth who speak Creole in metro stations, play zouk in converted warehouses, and protest police brutality in French-black solidarity marches. But not all leave to escape. Many return. They bring skills. They build businesses. They dig into the soil their ancestors once bled into. People like Jean-Marc Larcher, a permaculture farmer who left his engineering job in Lyon to start a regenerative banana plantation using African farming techniques. He teaches young people not just how to plant, but why their grandparents' methods mattered. Or Solange Bertin, a visual artist who paints ancestral spirits over satellite maps. Her work hangs in European galleries, but is rooted in Martinique's mountains. The island's future may lie in its diaspora. Those who return are not just visitors. They are bridge builders, linking memory with movement. Carnival, the fire of the people. No story of Martinique is complete without its most unapologetic expression, carnival. It's more than a party. It's controlled chaos, a ritual purge, a satirical scream. It begins in January and peaks on Mardi Gras, where King Vaval, a papier-mâché effigy, parades through the streets before being burned in a symbolic funeral. Vaval represents all that's wrong with the world. Each year, his form mocks a political scandal, a colonial injustice, or a social absurdity. In 2019, Vaval was a poisoned banana, referencing the Claudecone crisis. In 2023, he was a police officer with red hands, symbolizing state violence. When he burns, the crowd weeps, dances, curses, and laughs. The next day is Ash Wednesday, where women dress as black widows. They sing funeral songs, mourn Vaval's death, and flirt with the men dressed in black and white. It's grief with rhythm, anger with feathers. Carnival is not just Creole. It is political theater, an exorcism, a reminder that, in Martinique, joy is a weapon. The New Voices. Creole, feminism, and environmental justice. The loudest voices in Martinique today are often women. Mouvement Femmes du Bout, the standing women's movement, leads rallies for reproductive rights, land justice, and reparations. They demand recognition not just as victims of history, but as shapers of futures. Many draw inspiration from Lumina Sophie, a 19th century teacher and revolutionary who led an armed rebellion against French authorities in 1870. She was only 24. She died in prison, but her face now graces murals and school books. Young women now speak her name at protests. They teach their daughters to say, "We are not France's daughters. We are Martinique's mothers." Meanwhile, eco-activists fight to protect the island's biodiversity. The coral reefs are dying. The fishing grounds are tainted, but grassroots groups like a Saupamaa patrol the coastline, plant mangroves, and educate children about Creole ecology. In Martinique, feminism and environmentalism are not trends. They are survival strategies. Martinique tomorrow. Not France. Not fantasy. So where is Martinique going? It may never fully sever from France, but it will not dissolve into French identity either. Its future is Creole, a fusion, a friction, a fire. The island's thinkers speak of Creolite, a concept born in the 1980s by poets like Patrick Chamoiseau and Edouard Glissant. It means identity is not fixed, but fluid. Not pure, but hybrid. Not linear, but spiraled. Martinique is the embodiment of Creolite. It is the sugarcane and the steel drum, the Catholic prayer and the ancestral whisper, the rum toast and the protest song. It is trauma that dances, soil that sings, ash that blossoms. If you go, go with reverence. Walk barefoot in Saint-Pierre. Taste tinine with your fingers. Speak Creole, even if your tongue fumbles. And when carnival comes, mourn and dance with equal fire, because Martinique is not a museum. It's a volcano, sleeping, yes, but still burning.